Are you struggling to find your purpose in life? Do you feel like something is missing and you need some guidance? Do you often feel unfulfilled with what you're doing on a day-to-day basis? Well, I'm here to tell you, you don't have to feel that way anymore. I'm here to help you through your journey in life to gain clarity, find purpose, and passion. My name is Jose Miguel Longo. I'm a gay Hispanic, a husband, dog daddy, advocate for social justice, and DEI. Ally for all LGBTQ+, a career and life coach and millennial born in 1983. I have spent my time since the age of 14 working my way around the world of work. I know my God-given talents are to help those around me to gain clarity in their lives while finding their passion and purpose. For the last decade, I've spent my time coaching college students and alums from all three generations, X, Y, and Z, in designing their career stories and mapping what they want to do in their lives. Whether it's gaining clarity in who you are and what you're meant to do, learning to build a resume or write a cover letter, holding you accountable and building your career journey, or designing your life, the podcast Coaching for Millennials is a how-to guide for all things career, life, and a sprinkle of everything in between. It is an all-inclusive space for meaningful conversations on topics happening in our world right now. It is a space for people to go on a holistic journey in uncovering their passion and purpose. I'm here for all generations, no matter what you identify as. If you're seeking to transition from a career industry or job to another, or ready to transform your life completely, I got you, boo. Whatever the fantasy you're trying to create, let me make it happen. If you're ready to start the journey to explore your passion and purpose, get focused on gaining clarity to transform you to a place that will fuel you, inspire you, and sprinkle some joy and laughter in between, it's time to dive into Coaching for Millennials. Hey everyone, welcome to Coaching for Millennials, the podcast. This is a new journey and experience after almost nearly 2 years of taking an extended break from podcasting and, among other things, from Coaching for Millennials. I'm back and I'm excited with a fresh new look, and new look meaning we're doing video podcasting now. So there's going to be a YouTube channel where our podcast episodes will be uploaded to, and we'll also have some social media content that I haven't really done in the past. Before it was audiograms. This time it's going to be more visual content. So really to engage people in what I'm bringing and what I'm creating and the conversations and the interviews that we're having. But I wanted to do this kind of organic episode, I should say, because I don't have a theme. And today is really the focus of me coming back and recording content and me coming back to talk about what I've been doing for almost the last 2 years since my last episode. And I should probably start as to what happened. I had a moment in 2022 where I felt like I needed to take a break. And if you listen to episode 1 of season 3, by the way, I'm skipping season 3 altogether. This is season 4. We're now in season 4, and season 3 had just one episode. Sorry for season 3. It's a new new era. I don't want to go back to that. I don't need to go back to that. And I feel like most people would probably be like, wow, that was hard. Let's not go back to that. And I think I'll get into all of those things here later in this show, here later in the episode. But I want to say that welcome to season 4, episode 102. and we'll go from there. So in 2022, I was fresh out of just leaving a career in higher education and fresh in starting a new career in the ed tech space. The two things are very different. But I was also fresh out of finishing a multi-year contract with a partnership that I had with a business that I was working with to do consulting and coaching. I was coming off of an amazing high out of having such huge success with the podcast, doing consulting, doing guest speaking, doing
moderation of panels, doing all the things you could possibly want to be doing when you have a coaching business and coaching practice. And I ultimately wanted to be really, really successful in my job that I had just started in December of 2021. And when I found myself going through the periods and the levels of grief over leaving my career in higher education, I also found myself needing to have a break. And I don't want to say that I had a mental breakdown, because I don't think I did, but I had this moment of awareness where I realized that my mental health was not okay and all the things that I was doing were impacting it, including the podcast, including the coaching, including just everything. And I had to pick, I had to decide, what was I going to focus on and what was I going to do to put myself in a better position mentally so that I can be better later, but come back stronger. And that was hard, because all I kept thinking about during the whole time that I was gone was coming back to podcasting and coming back to doing the show and the people who were the listeners of the show and, you know, what happens with them and all of the things that are part of like this beautiful little business that brought me so much joy that I built in 2022. I kind of just said, stop. It's time for a break, and it's going to be there when you're ready. That's so hard when you're in such a high of all the things. But I made some hard choices and some hard decisions. I've never decided to fully fledge leave having a full-time job to do this work full-time. I like working. I like being challenged by work. I like having my hand in multiple things at once. Talk more about that here in a second. I am multi-passionate when it comes to all of things relevant to what I'm doing in this space and what I'm going to continue to do in this space. But also, having a full-time gig is what's paying my health insurance. Having a full-time gig is what's also been paying for all my bills. Having a full-time gig is what's also been giving me the opportunity to connect with people and have a impact in a space that I really wasn't quite ready yet to let go of, meaning the transition from higher education and working with students in colleges to now working for a company that's strictly working with multiple hundreds of thousands, well, not hundreds of thousands, but hundreds of thousands of students, millions of students, and then thousands of colleges. And that was so rewarding to have that opportunity, to have that experience, to be part of that team, and to be part of an organization that offered me that. I felt like I was blessed. I felt like I hit cloud nine, and I felt like there's no way that I don't want to see this to fruition and be successful at doing it. I wanted to do a kick-ass job. As I started to dig deeper into, you know, the spring and the summer of 2022, I started to realize that my mental health was at an all-time low. And mind you, I'm a career and life coach. I'm also a certified emotional intelligence coach. I'm also certified in the Clifton Strengths Finder. I have all these different certifications that at the end of the day, when it came to me personally, none of those things meant anything, because I could not, for the life of me, get my brain to where I wanted it to be. There was a chemical imbalance happening that was coming at me 1,000 miles per hour that I just couldn't stop. And I hit a wall. And all of it came from the leaving of a toxic environment from my last place of work in 2021 to the ending of that career, that to start a new career, and never really fully processing it to fruition. But that experience itself is what caused my mental health to then kind of relapse, so to speak. I come from a long history in my family, particularly of mental health. I've suffered from depression. I have suffered from anxiety. And through my learnings and my practices and coaching, I've been able to implement my emotional intelligence learnings into my own behavior to modify how I react and how I process and how I coach myself through things to have a much more stable mindset. So for years, I was doing this. For years, I was coaching myself through the ideas that I am okay and coaching myself through this space of everything's going to be great and really just not paying attention to what was in front of me. That one moment when I decided to leave higher education to part into the ed tech space really was the turning point for my mental health. And as I went through 2022, I started to realize that, oh shit, this is a problem. I was finding myself more distracted than ever. I was finding myself not being able to go back to catch on or catch up to the chase of what I had been working through and building for the last 3.5-4 years. I was struggling to connect the dots to things that should have came naturally and organically to me, but I was really not there. And I had this overwhelming sense of just sadness all the time. I just did not feel like myself. I didn't feel good. And it brought me back to a really dark space and place where I was many, many, many years ago in my life, as a, you know, late teenager, early young adult. And I knew I needed help, but I didn't want to jump into just any old coaching or any old professional therapist or psychiatrist or anything like that. I really wanted to find a therapist that was relatable, someone who was gay, someone who was Latinx, someone who can understand the trials and tribulation and the traumas that you experience when you grow up, when you, the way you grow up when you're a Latino and you're gay, but also just the fact that, like, I can relate and they can relate to me and all the other things that come with that. Finding a therapist sometimes takes time and it's a journey to find the right one. Speaking from experience, I had spent my early 20s from therapist to therapist, from medication to medication, from all the things that possibly you can think of when you suffer from mental health. And it's no joke. It's why I've been a huge advocate of mental health. And it's why I've always been a proponent to, it's okay to not be okay. And it's important to have a support system, and it's important to find people that can support you. It's also important to have, if knowing who you are, do you need a therapist? Do you need a life coach? Do you need a psychiatrist? Those three things are so different and they offer you different benefits. And I understand what those things are. For me, where I was, it wasn't a life coaching thing. I was pretty clear in where I was going and what I was doing. But the chemical imbalance that I was experiencing in my brain was no joke, and I couldn't fix that. Knowing that, I knew I needed to find someone that can help me with medication. And at first, I needed to find out what was really going on. How do I figure out what I was experiencing? And what was this? Is this just strictly me depressed and anxiety? And is it just catching on from different waves? Or was this more and we have to dig deeper? And being fully transparent, as I always have been, I came to find out that I have bipolar 1 and I suffer from, you know, different forms of anxiety that oftentimes don't present themselves. And how I've learned to not destabilize them, I guess just my years of coaching myself has presented it differently, which is why when I get super anxious, I start to process things internally and then mentally they just show up. And then I process them mentally. So I'm really connected with myself in that way. But what I was going through, there was just no way of doing it. I'm going to take a sip of my coffee here. So it was complicated because I knew that in my family there was a history of mental health. I had a general sense that there might be some bipolar there, but I didn't know to what extreme. Obviously, mental health is something that many, many, many people, millions of people, I should say, experience in their lifetime, whether it's through depression, anxiety, OCD, bipolarness, dissociative personality disorder, like all those different things. I always encourage people to get help and ask for help. I had to do that for myself. So after I was diagnosed, I went on this journey of, by the way, it took me from probably May or June of 2022 to November, October of 2022 to find a therapist that I felt was the person I wanted to work with. That's a super long time. I was very slow in the process. I didn't just jump on the bandwagon and say, oh, yep, I found a therapist, or I'm going to go look for one today. I wanted to try to fix my issues or my mental health on my own. Why? Because I felt like I had been able to do that before and I was successful in doing it. And it wasn't working. So when I finally got my therapist, you know, we went through the whole assessment to determine, you know, what was really going on and what was really happening here. And in that journey, medication was prescribed. I was starting to feel better by early spring of 23, and still was feeling challenged by the overwhelming sense of sadness for the things that I had experienced. So I had to go through processing that in some therapy. At the same time, I also was not feeling 100% and realized that, you know what, I think this medication has to change. So change medication, was on something else, made it worse, wasn't great. And I'm not going to share these medications because I think it's a little too personal for me. But if you understand bipolar disorder, then you can probably look these up. Also, in this process, I took a gene test to determine what medications work best for my blood type. And that was really important in this journey because I learned so much more about why the medication I was taking wasn't working as effectively as it should have. Although it presented signs for a good 7 to 8 months of working really well, but then it just kind of, my genes or my blood type just wasn't responding to it. And that happens with medication. You have to really have that conversation. So we tried something different from the list of medications based on my blood type. And I think what was most helpful was that I started to change my behavior and how I did things in my personal life. Went back to journaling a little bit, not consistently, but as much as I could based on my schedule and as based on me being able to do it. I feel like journaling is not just therapeutic, but it is a good tool to help you in your journey in life in general. There's so much power behind words and how you express them. And when you put them in writing, you give them more power and you can take back the power because they're your own words. And it's such a beautiful thing. And I do this with my clients all the time when it comes to coaching. Journaling is almost a prescription that you're going to have. And there's different forms of it, and we can talk more about that in other podcast episodes. I also started to exercise again, which was something that I hadn't done in a while. So, you know, 2023, I was gung-ho in the gym. I was feeling great. I think everyone should do some form of exercise, not just because I've always been someone who's been physically fit. And I say fit like I think I'm fit, but, you know, my body makes me feel differently. We all have this illusion of how we think and we see ourselves. But that was really helpful in that journey. And talking more about with my family what I was going through and what I was experiencing was also helpful. In 2023, my dad had a massive heart attack in the summer, and I felt like my world was upside down. I haven't had the best relationship with my dad my whole entire life. We've never been super close, but we got close as adults, as me being an adult person and him being older than when we were kids. And we've had our distances that have made things harder and more challenging, and our disagreements and, you know, our perceptions and views. My dad, you know, today he's alive and well. He's 66, has two babies, and is remarried, but he doesn't live with his wife. His wife is in a different country. Anyway, that's for a whole different conversation. Needless to say, when my dad had his heart attack, I felt like I had to kick in to do everything I could to save him. I didn't want my dad to die, but I also didn't want for his two kids to not have a father. And although my biggest problem with my dad is the relationship that he has two kids, and I'm grown-ass man at 40, I have these two, dare I say, siblings, who I'll never probably meet, that are ultimately children. They're just babies. One is a newborn, probably 5 months, 4 months old now at this time. 5 months old at this point. And then one's eight. Just kids. They're babies. So I decided to be caretaker. And all this while taking care of myself, while managing my job, now in going into my second full year at my job, trying to kill it. Because let me tell you, the work was hard. The work is, you think of it, it's easy, but when you're doing it, it's hard. And my job only got harder as time went on. And as someone who doesn't like to ask for help, dare I say that, I struggle to ask for help. If I need help, I'm going to wave a red flag, and I will gladly be like, hey, is red flag waving for help, or is it the white flag? I don't know. But I struggle with that. At this time, too, during this journey, this was August, in my mental health journey, I was also starting to realize that I was distracted by everything. You know the saying squirrel brain? I've always had squirrel brain. And I'm doing this because I'm going back. For years, I've like, I don't know what to do. I'm like, I know it's a form of ADHD, but I don't really know how to work with this. So my therapist like, well, let's just test it. And we did. And of course, I failed miserably. I have like probably the worst squirrel brain in the world. I'm not medicated for it at this time. I'm trying some natural things to kind of help with it. More to come with that. And I'm really excited that I'm working with this company. So more later on that. But it was hard because I was trying to still do my full-time job, take care of my dad, and in my brain, trying to help myself without helping myself because I had all this energy and attention that I had to focus on my dad. And also thinking about, when am I going to start podcasting? When am I going to start coaching again? When am I going to get on the road? When am I going to, while still wanting to do my job successfully? So I'm fucking batshit crazy. Like, if you've heard this podcast in any form in the last 3 seasons, you would know that I'm a person who has high energy. I like to go, go, go. I don't take a break. It's just in my personality. I will sleep when I'm dead. But I also had to learn how to sleep, which has been also an important part of my journey. So more to come on that as well. I feel like there's going to be so many episodes, not just in the season, but sprinkled in the show, that talks about wellness, mental health, and this journey. And I should also say that, like, I know people have heart attacks every single day. My dad had a Widowmaker, which apparently is the artery that when you have a heart attack in that artery, most people don't survive. His heart attack was August 6th. I believe it was August 6th. And he literally barely made it to the hospital. He had to have, now he has what's called a, oh my God, I should know this, but I'm not a terrible son, I promise you. It's just the ideas of all these different things in my mind. He has a machine. It's called an LVAD. It stands for left ventricular something, AD. I don't know what the AD is for, but it's a machine that's implanted in his heart to help the blood flow circulate from the left side of his heart to the right side of his heart. It's also the machine that's responsible for the flow of blood throughout his heart and the speed. So a really powerful machine that's operated on batteries. This was installed in September after he had already been in the hospital for over a month and then his journey to recovery. He didn't come home until October when I was still then taking care of him mid-October. And then I'm not taking care of him anymore. More to come on that later. And why, thank you to my friend Jennifer Doss, but also to me pushing it. Why I say family is an F word. So all this time, like, I'm giving you the 2-year, like, Cliff Notes version of what has transpired and where I've been. So just saying that life is a fucking roller coaster, and we have choices we make in life that ultimately we can recognize on the record for me personally, because I'm on this podcast and I'm doing this show, recognizing on the record that sometimes our decisions are questionable, but when we are making these decisions, we're doing them for several reasons. I've made so many decisions in the last 2 years that I felt had to be done to support my personal growth, my personal success, and also what I felt was right at my core, based on my values, based on my interests, based on the success that I wanted to have, and just being darn right fair. And I'm proud of everything I've done in the last 2 years. I'm sad that I didn't get to continue the ride with everyone who has been part of this show, meaning the listeners, but I'm back. And I feel really good today coming back. I've been wanting to record this episode for about 3 weeks now, and just different challenges have kind of kept me from doing it. I wanted to make sure I had the right tools to start doing it in a video format. I wanted to make sure I had other episode themes, topics, titles, content lined up while I was getting ready. The one thing that I learned from doing podcasting for the last 4 years is that it's hard to produce a show on your own. And it's really hard when you don't have a team to put things together. So I'm creating the content. I'm writing the content. I'm scripting it if I'm going to script it. I'm looking for guests. I'm creating the guest interviews. I'm meeting with the guests. And that's just all to put the show together. Then you have to produce the show, the audio, the editing, the then uploading, the show notes. These are all things that I have been trying to learn over the last couple of months, how to automate, how to use AI, how to identify potential partners to come in to help make the show be easier for me to put on more consistently and make it better overall. I've learned so much in this world. I did an episode, I think, in season 2 where I said podcasting saved my life. Maybe it was actually season 1. I truly have this strong connection to talking to people. I muted myself behind a microphone. And now I'm doing it in front of the camera, which I have to say, this has been fucking fun. I'm loving that I can see myself. I have to point, which way? This way? Okay. This fucking Dunkin' Donuts cup. You see it. But I see the camera and I'm watching. I'm like, fuck my husband. He gave it to me to throw out last night and I never got up to dispose of it in the garbage. So there it sits. in episode 1, season 4 of the podcast. Episode 102, season 4 of the podcast. But you know what? This is what this is going to be about. I am going to make this so good, but I'm going to show up the same version of me a little bit better. We'll talk more about my mental health journey. We'll talk about really relevant topics. So much has transformed in the last 2 years. I can't even begin to like dig deep enough into it. And we may have to have like multiple part episodes to like some of these topics, because the way the show's gonna be produced now is that parts of it will live on social media. The full show will live on YouTube. And then for audio learners, you can get it on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, which is now YouTube Music, iHeartRadio, Amazon Music. I mean, everywhere you can listen to a podcast, you can get this show. So I am so grateful for whoever comes back from the original grouping of subscribers/listeners. But I'm also really grateful on the opportunity to really be able to connect with a new audience and bring you some amazing new guests and content. So thank you. I have to thank you for, you know, just listening and being part of this. And I'm so excited for all the things that I'm putting together. Like I'm not going to say anything now, but I'm stoked. I'm really stoked. And I wore my Unstoppable shirt, which you've probably seen in multiple. You haven't seen. This is the first time we're doing a video call. So, which you'll probably see. This will be a theme, Unstoppable, in the podcast. It's kind of been one of my biggest mantras to really continue to push forward and to lean into that. So we are all unstoppable. And we're only going to get better with time. And I'm here to deliver that for you. And I'm here to be your biggest cheerleader, your biggest coach. Know where to find me at Jose Miguel Longo on social, Instagram, X, fucking Twitter, TikTok, LinkedIn, Facebook, anywhere you want to look for me, it's at Jose Miguel Longo. Thank you so much for spending 30 minutes with me today. I hope you have an awesome day, and I'll see you next time. Bye.
Hey, Chit Chatter. Thank you so much for being a part of the show. If you found value in today's episode, be sure to share it with the world. We welcome everyone for listening. And if you'd like, please go on over to Apple Podcasts and leave us a review. Those reviews mean everything to me, and they help the show grow, as well as for me to know what topics you want to hear from next. Be sure to go visit to coachingwithjosemiguel.com or Coaching for Millennials for more up-to-date content, newsletters, blogs, information about coaching for life and career. Thank you so much for being a part of our magical world and for being part of this program. I can't wait to the next episode.